His skin is white just like a ghost. Thick Irish roots and his blonde hair. And he sounds like a Chicago super fan. A music nerd with a collection of CDs from here to there. Yes, Andy Dare is in Chicago, interviewing and barbecuing. It's the Andy Dare Show. It's the Andy Dare Show.
Welcome to the Andy Dare Show. Today we got episode 152. I'm joined by an awesome musician, Janet Beveridge Bean. And you'd most likely know her from the awesome groups 11th Dream Day and Freakwater. 11th Dream Day been kicking around the Chicagoland area for over 30 years now, developed quite a unique original sound. Tons of awesome albums, Beat, Live to Tell. The new one is Works for Tomorrow, and that was released this summer on Thrill Jockey. And yes, it's an awesome listen. I got to do a piece for it for Chicagoist.com. I want to thank Tank Boy for allowing me to write for Chicagoist.com this summer. And it's an interesting chat. She plays drums with 11th Dream Day, and then she also has kind of an Americana throwback sound with her side project Freakwater. But what started as a side project, that's over 20 years old itself. Freakwater has some awesome albums as well. So do check it out. It's a nice chat. We talk about, the whole signing frenzy of the early 90s and how a lot of the major labels would eventually turn their back on their artists. Didn't quite happen with 11th Dream Day. They just felt it a better fit to be on an indie. And now in 2015, if you can find a reliable record label such as Thrill Jockey, you're in luck, because there's not a whole lot still out there. So do check out their new album, Works for Tomorrow. It's highly recommended. It's got some kraut rock influence. It's loud. It's gritty. Supposedly, they recorded it just in one day here in Chicago. And it's out now. Highly recommended. And we'll be right back, and I'll explain to you what we've been up to here at Dare Network.
Yo, what goes on, people? Jay Porks here. Just reminding you to keep it locked to the Dare Network throughout 2015, where you can get the Tyler Kale Show, the smooth, sultry tones of the Jay Porks Experience, or the Andy Dare Show. Keep it locked to andydare.com. 2015, big things coming.
And we are back. Yes, I just want to fill you in on my little podcast network named Dare Network. We're about to celebrate our second anniversary. And obviously you find my show there. You find Jay Porks Experience, which is an awesome show out of Staten Island, New York City. Jay is an awesome guy, very funny. I like to sell it as Seinfeld meets the Ramones, kind of like, he goes through his everyday situations. He brings humor and levity to the whole situation. And he knows a ton about music, especially being the social media guy for one of my favorite bands, the Meat Puppets. So do check out the Jay Porks Experience. Definitely follow him on Twitter, just at Jay Porks. Now we have added a brand new face to the whole network. His name is Jesse Anderson. He's been a friend of mine for probably about 5 years now. I met him once I heard that he had been in the news about a mugging on the Red Line, so I reached out to him. He's also Billy Corgan's brother. That's one of my favorite musicians of all time. And Jesse couldn't be a nicer, cooler individual. And I got to know him through Resistance Pro Wrestling, a little promotion that I helped out with here and there with promoting the events. I did that for about a year and a half. Then when Billy and Jesse left last year, Jesse kind of put all of his efforts into doing his own podcast, Jesse's World. And those are great listens. He did that for 6 months, maybe a year. I don't know exactly. But he found out he likes doing that. He likes interviewing people. He likes checking out bands and discussing them. And Jesse thought, why not move over to the Dare Network? And yes, he's a cool guy. It's an interesting story. The show's called Jesse Unplugged. And we got our first episode out now. Bear in mind, there's not a theme song. There's not a sponsor. It's pretty bare bones at its early states. But if you want to contribute to the show, just drop me a line, and hopefully we will get a theme song going pretty soon, and hopefully we will be editing the, getting you a better quality audio situation going on. So Jesse Unplugged is the show. We're going to just do it monthly right now. The September episode is up. He discusses everything that went on with his old podcast network and why he decided to move over to us. We appreciate Jesse, and we appreciate everybody that will check out Jesse Unplugged. I promise you we will have awesome guests from the world of wrestling, awesome bands in, some comedians, who knows. He's a really open-minded fellow, so who knows what's going to go on this show. Just stay tuned, and you can find it all at andydare.com. We have a brand new iTunes feed. We had to spend a little money and switch over to a brand new feed. So guess what? There is no more theandydareshow.com. So completely erase that from your memory. Right now, it's just andydare.com. That will lead you right to iTunes. We have about 12 episodes of our podcast network up. We've got Jesse Unplugged, The Jay Porks Experience, and my show. And yeah, we'll be adding new content pretty much every other day for the network. So this is an exciting new time. We're building on what we've got. Hopefully we'll get Tyler Cale back in the fold. He's been busy out there in Hollywood. But yeah, I do hear everybody's excited to hear more stuff out of Tyler Cale. Do check him out. He's an awesome doppelganger guy. That's his forte, is celebrity doppelgangers. He'll take two celebrities who you would never think look alike at all, and he'll find pictures where they're making the same face all of a sudden, and boom, you got a doppelganger. So you can find that at dopspot.com. And yeah, Tyler Cale, thanks for all the work you've been doing the last couple years. Hopefully we'll get you back soon. And yeah, I mean, I don't really have that much of a spiel. We're taking some weeks off just to kind of fill up the archive with some of our best moments from the year so far. So we've got Tad Doyle from the band Tad. We've got Norman Blake from Teenage Fan Club. We've got Chris Conley, once of Revolting Cocks in Ministry. Now he's doing Sons of the Silent Age and his new duo Cocksure. And he's also got a solo album. I don't know how the guy spends enough time, how he finds the time in the day to do all this stuff. But Chris Conley's a good listen. And yeah, pretty soon we'll have our episode with Kevin Wood of Malfunction up. And that pretty much does it. Oh yeah, everybody who's asking about the Honeycomb fanzine, pretty much a little bit too much hard work for not a whole lot of gratitude. I do appreciate the 35 people that were on the mailing list. I think we put out 4 or 5 issues. Right now, that's on hiatus. Maybe we'll bring it back this winter in time for Christmas time. And just want to thank everybody who's checked out andydare.com. Want to thank Empty Lighthouse. Want to thank Chicagoist. What else we got? Everybody who helps out at Dare Network. And yeah, especially Janet Beveridge Bean. She's a nice chat. I appreciate her taking the time out. Without further ado, my episode 152 with special guest Janet Beveridge Bean. Hey everybody, thank you so much for checking out the Andy Dare Show. Today it is episode 152, and I am joined by a real cool woman, Janet Beveridge Bean. How you doing?
I'm fine, Hank. How are you?
Doing well. And yeah, you've had quite a busy summer. 11th Dream Day, huge band in Chicago for past nearly 30 years now. How long have you guys been together? Are we at 30 years now or not quite?
Well, you know, I don't know if we ever decided if there was like a day that we started. You know, I don't know what that day was.
Sure.
But Rick and I have been playing together in the direction of 11th Dream Day since about 1983.
83, okay, nice. And yeah, you just got the new album out, Works for Tomorrow, and on Thrill Jockey Records. So have you been with Thrill Jockey ever since you guys left the major label? Weren't you on Atlantic for El Mudio?
Yeah, we started off on a small, very small independent label in out of L.A. That was run by a college fund of Rick's, and then we went from there to Atlantic, and we were on Atlantic for a few records, and then we left Atlantic, and we were on another small Chicago label called Atavistic. We put out one record there, and then we went to Thrill Jockey.
Nice, and it seems like everybody who goes to Thrill Jockey, they end up staying with Thrill Jockey. That's got to be a good testament to those guys over there. Did you ever feel like you were part of the whole grunge signing frenzy that happened after Nirvana and all them, or were you guys on Atlantic before that whole thing happened?
Well, we were on Atlantic before that, so I think we were just, we sort of predated that a little bit. I remember when Nirvana was signed and the amount of money they got, and it just was sort of mind-boggling to me, and it seemed like a crazy notion, but apparently it was a wise investment on the part of the label.
Sure.
But we sort of predated that.
That's awesome. Like Sonic Youth, I guess, kind of predated that too, getting signed.
Yeah, we're more still, in that.
Yeah.
We're more like the Who's Gonna Do Sonic Youth kind of time frame.
Sure. And like a total story that's been repeated again and again on my show is kind of like that whole signing frenzy thing. They give you an album, two albums, three albums, and then they totally turn their back on you. But then it seems like the bands have more fun once they go back to a smaller label or maybe more of a boutique label or something like that. Is Thrill Jockey really has a far reach. I mean, they have some amazing bands, Tortoise being one of them. How is it like working for those guys?
Well, Bettina, she's the head of Thrill Jockey. She was the one who brought us into Atlantic.
Oh.
So she was the A&R person at Atlantic for us, and she brought us in, but then shortly after we got there, she, as the world of music businesses, she moved on to Polygram, I believe it was. I'm not sure exactly the course of it, but she left, and then, you know, I won't say that the record company turned our back on us necessarily, but I just don't think they ever had a clue. It wasn't that. I just think... different time, and they just didn't really have a clue. We put out, let's see, we put out three records. I think it was three records with them, and then we just, you know, asked to be on our way. And so in the meantime, Bettina had begun Thrill Jockey.
Nice.
So we ended up just heading over there. Yeah.
Is that about the time when Tortoise was hitting it big, like 96, 97? They seemed like pretty much a taste-making label, had a bunch of interesting bands. Them and Drag City, it seems like. So two awesome Chicago labels.
No. We were on Thrill Jockey before Doug started Tortoise, so no.
Oh, okay. Nice. I was just going to ask about Doug's working with Tortoise. Didn't that have a little bit of influence in shaping the trajectory of the next couple of years with you guys when he came back to 11th Dream Day?
Yeah. Well, he never came back or anything. We were always still an active band. It was just like I do Freakwater and 11th Dream Day, he does Tortoise and 11th Dream Day. You know, it's not like one of them is on hiatus or anything along those lines, but I mean, I think if you're a band that's been around for a long time and you don't sort of keep things interesting for yourselves, then there's really no point in it. And so I'm sure there were certainly elements of where Doug's head was at and our heads were in sort of a similar place. And that, you know, that may be a little bit more represented on an album like on 8th or something, but
sure, yeah.
I don't think you know we were ever thinking about sounding more like Tortoise or anything along those lines. We always have been fairly particular in the way we sound, and even when we are maybe using more studio elements in the recording process, we still just have a a pretty signature sound.
Sure, yeah. I mean, you can throw all these different influences, and it still comes out like you guys, just like the new album still sounds like you guys, but they're, you know, influences that we haven't heard before on there. Yeah, that whole late 90s Chicago scene with the Sea and Cake, you guys, John McIntyre at Soma Studios, Wilco even, you know, really using the studio as a, you know, new horizon to try to figure out some new sounds in. I kind of want to think it's almost like Radiohead going from the Benz to OK Computer. Was that any type of thing like, we're sick of the garage rock, let's move on a little bit to broader things? Or I don't know if I'm not saying
that. No,
right.
No. I mean, I think it was really just derived from the fact that we, Rick and I had a, we have a son, and we, our son had some, health issues, and so we just couldn't tour like we did. So, you know, we went from being a band that developed things on the road to one that had to develop things in the studio and learn the songs in the studio and sort of create them right there on the spot. And so I think that's what it was. It wasn't really a decision to move from, you know, what you describe as garage rock into something else, but it's not that. And We've never really spent much time in the studio anyway. I mean, just this last record, we recorded everything in a day, you know, so that's pretty much been our MO for as long as I've, you know, as we've existed. But there was a, you know, period of time where we were just all sort of very challenged to spend a lot of time together rehearsing, and so we did things in the studio.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a neat thing to be able to do, add things to the record that you don't have to worry about recreating on the road. It's kind of a nice thing. But this one, you said you just recorded it in one day, the new one?
Yep.
Oh, that's awesome. How about which studio did you record that at?
We did it, Mark Greenberg, who's played with us now for like 13, 14 years. He is the manager at the Wilco Space, the loft that they do their recording in. And,
sure.
And there's lots of other projects down there, and so we recorded at the loft.
Oh, awesome. Is it is at the same time they were recording their new Star Wars, or did you cross paths? Or?
No. It's, well, I mean, we're friends with each other, so, you know, we certainly, Jeff will stop by or something, but no, if they're doing their record, then it's solidly locked up for them. No
sure.
One else.
Only fair, it's their space, right? Yeah, that Spencer Tweedy kid, he did my show last, like a couple months ago. Great guy, awesome drummer.
Uh-huh.
And you're quite the drummer yourself. How about like an early influence on drumming for you when as a teenager? When did you start drumming?
You know, I don't think I started off with the intent of being a drummer necessarily. I started off with the intent of wanting to be in a punk rock band, and I started in a band when I was 16 in Louisville called Skull of Glee, and it was a really fantastic sort of 7-8 piece I don't know, kind of a romantic surf kind of creation that was kind of good performance art as well, and I just played woodblock or something in that, and then some friends of mine, there's a pretty famous, notorious band from Louisville called Babylon Dance Band, and they were very popular and much beloved, and they broke up, and then a couple of them reformed and wanted the drummer, and I just decided I would figure out how to play drums, so I just sat down and tried out, and I got the part. But it wasn't because I didn't have any influences or anything. I was just influenced by being 16 and wanting to be a part of this cultural scene, this small little punk rock scene that was happening in Louisville, and just fitting in sort of in an intuitive way, I guess.
It's really interesting because then you also have the Freakwater stuff, and really it's based upon early, I don't know, Bakersfield country stuff like that, and obviously stuff like Nashville.
No, not It's not so much Bakersfield, really. We're much more, I mean, End Time Record is sort of maybe you could consider country pollen or something, but we're primarily steeped in more Carter family, folk Appalachian stuff. And that comes, and Catherine and I both come out of the same scene in Louisville, and approach making that music with the same ethos.
Yeah, it's got to be different being in like part of the punk scene in Louisville and having the whole country scene pretty much surrounding you. Is it more of a us versus them thing? And then you realized, hey, I like some of the influences from that scene as well. Why don't we tinker around with that stuff as well? It's weird, right?
No, like I just said, Catherine and I came out of the exact same scene. She's my partner in Greekwater. The scene was all in Louisville. You know, nobody saw much of a difference between what Hank Williams was doing and what the Damned were doing.
Sure,
you know,
yeah.
Both things that sort of moved you, and that's how we approached it. We weren't listening to popular country music at Statler Brothers or anything at the time, and so we were just really grounded in sort of that very bare emotional type of narrative from country music, and that was not that different from punk rock's narrative. And so, you know, it wasn't an us versus them or anything.
I definitely agree that there's definitely similarities in both of those worlds, and I don't understand why they don't merge more often. But they do in small cases, one case being you guys,
sure.
And, you know, one case being
well,
the Wilcos. And
made.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of things. I mean, John Langford's,
yeah.
You know, the Mekons coming here and, you know, John Langford doing all that stuff. It does merge it. And I think most people will recognize the commonalities to it that have spent any time in either one of those scenes.
Sure. Yeah, and I just saw the new documentary on the Mekons. Very awesome. Highly recommended over here. I heard there's words of a new Freakwater album coming down the pipe.
Yeah, we have a new one that'll be released in first of the year, and a single that's coming out in November. We have been on Thrill Jockey forever and a day, and then we just decided to make a change, and now we're on Bloodshot.
Oh, okay, nice. Well, still local, right? Nice.
Yeah,
that's about all I got. Just want to thank you for taking the time out. How about one more question? Your favorite venue around Chicago to play?
Oh, you know, I love to play all the venues. It just, you know, when we started off, there was this little hole in the wall called Batteries Not Included that I loved, and that was a great venue. I have great shows at the Hideout. I've enjoyed playing the Metro. I've enjoyed, you know, there's just a lot of really great people that run venues here and a lot of great venues. Chicago's very, very unique and lucky that way.
Yeah, I love it. That's why I'm living here. And, want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your day. You got the new album, Works for Tomorrow, 11thDreamDay.com, out now, Thrill Jockey Records. That's pretty much all I've got for you. Just want to thank you. And any last words,
right.
Janet?
No, just have a good evening.
All right, sounds good. On behalf of Janet Beveridge Bean, this is Andy signing off for the Andy Derer Show. This episode of the Andy Derer Show is brought to you in part by Uncle Bub's award-winning barbecue in Westmont, Illinois. Family-owned and operated since 1997, Uncle Bub's is the real deal barbecue. A family-friendly restaurant open 7 days a week. Also, it's a full-service catering company doing weddings, pig roasts, luaus, grill packages, you name it. They have a friendly, helpful staff that will make sure that your party goes off without a hitch. Call them at 630-493-9000. Visit them at 132 South Cass Avenue in Westmount, Illinois, and UncleBubs.com. Hey man, I know you like grilling. I know you like getting those dark grill marks on your burgers, fish, chicken. And I know you don't want to just dry your meat out like you're cooking with a hairdryer. Why not get the Man Grate and click through the AndyDareShow.com's banner so we can keep the lights on here at Honeycomb Hideout Studios in gorgeous Westmont, Illinois. The Man Grate. This episode of The Andy Dare Show is brought to you in part by Record Utopia, a music lover's dream with thousands of vinyl records, musical instruments, and sound gear. They buy, sell, and trade. Give them a call at 630-963-1957. Visit them in Westmont, Illinois at 309 West Ogden Avenue, on the web at recordutopia.com. It's always a good, relaxed atmosphere. Check them out, Record Utopia. This has been a presentation of The Andy Dare Show, copyright 2015. For more info, check out andydarer.com. Thank you so much for listening.